We're reading from Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. You take your Bibles, please. Ephesians chapter 5, we're reading from verse 25 today. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, and that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And so we find here in this chapter, the Apostle Paul, actually going back and beginning with chapter 4, verse 1, Paul is talking about the Christian life, the Christian walk. And he says it is to be a worthy walk. Worthy implies a standard and a goal. And Paul is talking about the church here, and he's giving us an illustration and a contrast and a parallel between the church and marriage. Earlier we had read about the fact that the work of Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ is doing now, 2,000 years ago, he died on a cross for us. He rose again. But now the role of Jesus Christ, now the work of Jesus Christ consists of the fact that he is head of the church. And to be head of the church means he leads it. He is in charge. He is the Lord. And he earned that title from God the Father himself by being obedient and willingly submitting himself to do the will of the Father. And God has appointed Jesus Christ, head of the church. To be appointed means to be given authority. When God created Adam and Eve, he gave Adam authority over all the animals and everything in the garden. And then when he created Eve and brought Eve to him, he says, she was taken from your heart, from your rib, from close to you. You will head her up. You will lead her. And so in marriage, we see a picture of the church. Or in the church, we see a picture of what marriage should be. And of course, the church is the ideal. The church is the standard that God has set. And the family, or the marriage, obviously falls way, way lower than the standard that God set out. But the ideal is there. And the standard is there. And God calls us to the standard and says, walk worthy, live worthy. This is the goal that you should have. Paul calls it the upward goal, the upward calling, the holy calling that God called us with. The first thing about Jesus Christ being head of the church, leading the church, is that he leads us to purity. And I entitled my message today, Transforming Love. Husbands, you are to love your wives in such a way that any deficiencies in her life would be transformed by the Word of God that is able to transform our lives first so that we could be example to them. And the point of the love of Jesus Christ is that he loved the church and gave himself. Notice it says, for the church, so the church would be glorious, so the church would be clean, so the church would be pure, so that the church would be sinless. No spots, no blemishes. And so the comparison is between what the church is and should be and what the marriage is and should be. There is a command here. It says husbands. He's talking to Christian husbands. There are non-Christian husbands out there. And this command, this epistle, this letter is written to Christians. This was written to the church at Ephesus. And all of the Christian husbands there with their wives sitting there, Paul is writing to them. And we're reading this today to the Church of Hollywood. Christian husbands. And men, if you are not a husband yet, if you don't have a wife yet, this is still written to you. Because you are a member of the Church of Christ. And you need to strive to this ideal. But husbands, the command here is for us, and I include myself here, to love my wife and for you to love your wife exactly the way Jesus loves us and loves the church. And that brings us to a paradox, because we can't. Ask yourself, do you love your wife the way Jesus loved us? No, I do not. I stand guilty. None of us can do so. We're not even capable of submitting to one another, as Scripture says here, unless we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. But what does it mean to love the way God loves God the Father? What does it mean to love like God the Son loved? God the Father loved in that He gave everything He had. He gave His Son, His only Son, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. What does it mean to love like Jesus loved? Jesus loved and gave Himself, our text says. This is agape love. This is God's love. This is love we can only think about and talk about and imitate and try to emulate in our life, but we cannot fully love like God loves. But at the same time, we're called and commanded to love this way. And Christian husbands, this should drive us to our knees. There are very few men in history who have been asked or who have given their lives for their wives. Think about it. Read your history books. How many stories have you read about a husband that gave his life for his wife? Very, very few. In the Old Testament, you remember when Israel was in captivity, first in Babylon, and then we read about King Cyrus. You heard about King Cyrus. It is said, and this is history, don't know if this is a fact or not, but we find it in history books, that he had a general, and this general had a wife. And this wife got involved in some treachery and was judged, brought before the king, found guilty, and was supposed to die because of treachery against King Cyrus. And when the general heard about this, and remember, they had these rules. You could not just come into the presence of the king. Remember Esther and Mordecai? And when Mordecai tells Esther to go unto the king and plead for the life of Israel, for the nation, Esther says, I can't go into the presence of the king without an invitation. If the king does not extend to me his scepter, which was his stick, his sign of authority, if the king does not let me come in, he will give a command and they will kill me outside by the door before I even come into his presence. And yet this general loved his wife so much, it is said that he ran from his house and he burst into the castle. And he ran into the presence of Cyrus. And he fell down before Cyrus and he begs for the life of his wife. And Cyrus was a gentleman. And when he saw this emotion, he forgave the wife. And he let her go home in the presence and under the care of her husband. And when he got home, the general asked his wife, did you see the expression on the face of Cyrus when he let you go and he freed you? And the wife says, no, I did not. Because I was looking on your face with the love that you were begging the king to forgive me. All I could think about and all I could see was your love for me in offering to give your life for me. And men, this is just an example of a man that was probably not even a godly man. He just loved his wife. But Jesus, he gave himself for us in the same way when we were guilty of trespass against God, rebellion against God. We did not love God. God loved us when we did not love him. And he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. What is the goal of Jesus dying for us? Our text here says, it says, he gave himself for the church so that he might sanctify, verse 26, and cleanse her. The word sanctify is the word holy, to make holy. The word holy means to cut away, to separate, to make apart, to set apart. And that is what the church is. Set apart from who? Set apart from the world to live in love with who? The one who gave his life so that the Father would accept us into his presence. It may be possible, maybe one of us might have to die for a wife. But there is no husband, not even a Christian husband, that like Jesus Christ could remove the sin from his wife, or his own sin for that matter. And husbands, there are none of us that could wash our wife and make her clean and pure before the Lord the way Jesus does before the Father. But yet that was the goal of Jesus Christ in dying for us. And so when we have the parallel between the church and marriage, it is an ideal to which we are called that we cannot accomplish. And it should drive us to our knees in confession and repentance. But Jesus died to cleanse us from sin. And the image here is given to be washed in water. And water cannot wash our sin away. But the Word can. The Word of God cleanses us and transforms us. In ancient Greece, there was a ceremony that some brides did before they got married. Her friends would take her down to the river and they would wash her. And this was a ceremonial washing of any impurity she may have had in her past life, sexual or otherwise. And when she came out of the water, she was committed or given into the hands of her husband-to-be as if she was clean and pure. And now she would live only for him. Forgetting the past, leaving the past behind. And it's just a ceremony that the Greeks did, but that again reminds us of what we do when we come and are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and when we are baptized, and when we are committed and dedicated to live in the love, looking into the eyes of the one that pleads to the Father and who gave his life for us to save us from our sin. And Jesus Christ died for the church so that we could live with him in his love forever. A glorious church. Husbands, do you love your wives and think that she's the most glorious being in the world? Like Adam, when God brought Eve to her, he says, "This is a bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This is me. This is us. We are one." And God united them. Jesus has united us to himself. We are his body. And that is the standard. Christian husbands, this is a command that begins with our life. If you're the head of your wife, or you're leading your wife, you have to live this way yourself. You have to understand these concepts. You need to desire for yourself. And you need desire for your wife so that both of you would live pure before God. No spots, no wrinkles. You know, when a bride comes to get married, her dress has no wrinkles in it. It's been perfectly made, perfectly ironed. It has no spots on it. Have you ever gone to a wedding where the bride has had a dirty dress on? I have not, okay? It's perfect. God is doing that to us. Husbands, we cannot do this for our wives like Jesus did, but that's the goal. Our goal in being husband to our wife and being spiritual leader to our wife and our family, if we have children, is to lead them to purity. And so I need to ask you, husbands, Christian husbands, do you desire godliness and holiness and purity in your own life, in your own mind, in your own thinking, in your own speech? Paul has talked about our speech here earlier in this chapter. Is this your goal in your life, and is this the goal for your wife and for your family? If it is, then praise be to God. If it is not, then it's a time to come before the table of the Lord and confess your sin and renew the promise and the commitment you made in front of God and in front of other people when you became married, to take your wife and to lead her spiritually in spiritual worship before the Lord. And you can only do it when you continuously stay in the Word and are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, as Paul says. And then the Holy Spirit of God will be able to produce in your life this fruit of the Holy Spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 5. And this love will extend to your wife too. May God bless his word. Amen.